ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ग्रंथ श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 5 एंटाइटल्ड प्रहलाद द सेंटली सन ऑफ हिरण्यकशिपु। यस्टरडे टेक्स्ट 19 वाज डिस्कस्ड, 20 एंड 21 डू नॉट हैव पर्पोर्ट्स and 22nd verse is the verse that we'll be discussing. So I'll just read the verses and the translation, text 20 and 21, and then we'll recite together the verse 22. So text 20, padayo pitatam balam pratinandya shishasurah parishvarja चिरं दोर्भ्यां परमां आप निवर्तितं निवृतम। When Hiranyakashipu saw that his child had fallen at his feet and was offering obeisances, as an affectionate father, he immediately began showering blessings upon the child and embraced him with both arms. A father naturally feels happy to embrace his son, and Hiranyakashipu became very happy in this way. Text 21. Aropyankam avagraya murdhanyashru kalambudhi bubhi asinchan विकसत वक्त्रम इदम आह युधिष्ठिर। नारद मुनि कंटिन्यूड, माय डियर किंग युधिष्ठिर, हिरण्यकशिपु सीटेड प्रहलाद महाराज ऑन हिज लैप एंड बिगैन स्मेलिंग हिज हेड विथ अफेक्शनेट टीयर्स ग्लाइडिंग डाउन फ्रॉम हिज आईज एंड मॉइस्चरिंग द चाइल्ड्स स्माइलिंग फेस। He spoke to his son as follows. There's a very short one-line purport given by Srila Prabhupada. If a child or disciple falls at the feet of the father or spiritual master, the superior responds by smelling the head of the subordinate. Text 22. Please repeat. Hiranyakashipu uvacha. Praharadanyuchyatam tata. Swadhitam kinchiduttamam. काले नैतावतायुष्मन् यद् अशिक्षद् गुरोर्भवान् हिरण्यकशिपुर्वाच प्रह्रादान्यु नुच्यतां तात स्वधीतं किञ्चिदुत्तमं काले नैतावतायुष्मन् यद् आशिक्षन् गुरोर्भवान् हिरण्यकशिपुर्वाच प्रहरादानुच्यतां तात स्वधीतं किञ्चिदुत्तमम् कालेनैतावता युष्मन् यद् अशिक्षत गुरोर्भवान् हिरण्यकशिपुः वाच किंग हिरण्यकशिपु सेड प्रह्लाद माय डियर प्रह्लाद अनुच्यतां लेट इट बी टोल्ड तात माय डियर सन स्वधीतम वेल लर्नेड किंचित समथिंग उत्तमम वेरी नाइस कालेन एतावता फॉर सो मच टाइम आयुष्मान ओ लॉन्ग लिव्ड वन यत विच अशिक्षत हैज लर्न्ड गुरोः फ्रॉम योर टीचर्स भवान योर सेल्फ Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Abhay Charanaravind Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Translation Hiranyakashipu said My dear Prahlad My dear son O long lived one For so much time you have heard many things from your teachers Now please repeat to me Whatever you think is the best of that knowledge. Purport. In this verse, Hiranyakashipu inquires from his son what he has learned from his guru. Prahlad Maharaj's gurus were of two kinds, Shand and Amarka. The sons of Shukracharya in the seminal disciplic succession were the gurus appointed by his father. But his other guru was the exalted Narad Muni, who had instructed Prahlad when Prahlad was within the womb of his mother. Prahlad Maharaj responded to the inquiry of his father with the instructions he had received from his spiritual master Narada. Thus, there was again a difference of opinion because Prahlad Maharaj wanted to relate the best thing he had learned from his spiritual master, whereas Hiranyakashipu expected to hear about politics and diplomacy. Prahlad had learned from Shand and Amarka, which Prahlad had learned from Shand and Amarka. Now, the dissension between the father and son became increasingly intense. As Prahlad Maharaj began to say what he had learned from his guru Narad Muni. Om Agyan Thimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam वंदेहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी निति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे वांचा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरु दीनतारणं जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। वेलकम टू ऑल ऑफ यू फॉर टुडे मॉर्निंग्स श्रीमद् भागवतम क्लास। सो वी आर हियरिंग फ्रॉम दिस सेक्शन ऑफ द वेरी फेमस पास टाइम ऑफ प्रहलाद महाराज विच वॉज हर्ड बाय लॉर्ड चैतन्य अगेन एंड अगेन एंड अगेन नेवर फीलिंग सेशिएटेड। दिस पास टाइम इज प्रेजेंट नॉट ओनली इन द श्रीमद् भागवतम but in various other Puranas to different degrees of details and depth. So in this section, in this chapter, we are going through the episode where first time when Prahlad Maharaj was asked this same question by Hiranyakashipu just as an affectionate question, as to what have you learned from your teachers in school. Tat sadhu manya suravarya dehinam sada samudvigna dhyam asat krihar. Very strong answer, one verse answer was given by Prahlad Maharaj. It is said at that time Hiranyakashipu just laughingly took it and he asked Chandan Amarka, what is this child speaking? What kind of training are you people giving him? He got a bit angry, but still it was although angrily spoken, but with externally he was laughingly saying with that, as that's what the Bhagavatam says. So Chandan and Amarka took it very seriously because they knew what it means to displease their master. It could be even death for them, not just removal from the job of teachers. So as we were hearing yesterday from His Holiness Vaishnava Maharaj, how carefully and scrutinizingly Chandan Amarka must have trained Prahlad Maharaj this time, that when next time this question is asked by Hiranyakashipu, actually they can give the answer, he can give the answer that Hiranyakashipu is expecting. So they had done their part very thoroughly. And finally that day came. It was not a pre-planned day. It was just another day where Hiranyakashipu just happened to see his child, Prahlad. And as it is mentioned in the previous two verses, as an affectionate father, he immediately began showering blessings upon the child and embraced him with both arms. A father naturally feels happy to embrace his son, and Hiranyakashipu became very happy in this way. It was not a strategy or strategical question to check what has Prahlad actually, is he still being influenced by his enemies? It was not really in that mood. Just as an affectionate father, out of great affection, as it says in the next verse, Hiranyakashipu seated Prahlad Maharaj on his lap, because Prahlad was very young still, 5-year-old child. So rather than sitting himself and talking to Prahlad while Prahlad was standing, he took Prahlad on his lap. What an act of affection, you see. And why you keep standing? I will take you on my lap. With affectionate tears gliding down his eyes, moistening the child's smiling face. Just imagine the scene. Huge Hiranyakashipu, out of great affection for his child Prahlad, is holding Prahlad in his lap, tears falling from the eyes of Hiranyakashipu on the face of Prahlad. smiling face of Prahlad. Prahlad is fearless. He spoke. Hare Krishna. So Hiranyakashipu spoke to his son as follows. So we see this is something similar to Kansa taking his sister Devaki out of great affection to her husband's house. And as we all know from the Bhagavatam 10th canto, the moment his sense gratification was hampered, he was ready to kill the very same sister whom he was showing so much affection towards just a couple of minutes back. So that is the nature of affection. Even such an intense exhibition of emotions, tears falling from the eyes of Hiranyakashipu, it is a very strong statement when I heard for the first time when Prabhupada said, there is no love in this material world. I said, really? We see so much of, so many things going on in the name of love. But actually, in the real sense, it's all an exhibition of various degrees of selfishness. And Prabhupada said, the most selfless relationship in this world is of mother and child. But still there is some degree of selfishness, because a conditioned living soul, living entity, unless one revives one's relationship with Krishna, different degrees of selfishness will exist inevitably in the heart. So Hiranyakashipu was no exception to that. And actually, he's not making up a show here. It's not that he's not having any emotions towards Prahlad, but those emotions, those feelings of affection, are shallow. They can't go through the test of time in the form of difficulties. Anything deep can sustain the test of time. Anything shallow will fall apart with time. Na sato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sato. Anything which is on the platform of asat cannot last. And anything that is on the platform of sat cannot be destroyed. Shishi Gornita, Shishi Krishna Balram, Shishi Radha, Shyam Sundar Lalita Vishakha ki Jai. So anyway, these genuine affectionate tears and feelings of affection were pouring out of the heart of Hiranyakashipu. And with those feelings, he asked this question. My dear Prahlad, you see so many adjectives. My dear son, oh long lived one. He is blessing Prahlad to live a long life, but few minutes from now, he'll be doing the right opposite of what he's blessing Prahlad here for. So Prahlad didn't have just the blessing of Narad Muni to be a long-lived personality, but he was even blessed by Hiranyakashipu. Genuine, heartfelt blessings. Oh long-lived one, for so much time you have heard many things from your teachers. Now please repeat to me whatever you think is the best of that knowledge. When Prahlad heard this term, although the word uses guroho or guror, which is plural, but Prahlad Maharaj had already given his heart to Narada when he was in the womb of his mother, Kayadu. And with that kind of heart given to the spiritual master, he heard the teachings of scriptures from Narad Muni. This is how one receives transcendental knowledge. If the heart is to yourself, that means we are still self-absorbed. We are still looking for some selfish agendas from what we hear. Then the message cannot have the deep impact that Prahlad Maharaj here experienced. Prahlad had given his heart to Narad Muni. It is clearly evident even later in the pastime when Prahlad did have darshan of his worshipable deity, worshipable Lord Narsingdev. Evam janam nipatitam prabhavahi kupe kamabhikama manuya prapatan prasangat hitvatma satrashidam bhagavan grihito koham katham nuvishaje tavabhitya sevam. Even to Lord Narsingdev, Prahlad Maharaj said, although I have received your darshan, your blessed darshan, O my Lord, how can I forget that Narada, who once upon a time when I was in a pit of material existence, the deep dark well of the material existence, and prabhavahi kupe kama abhikama manuya, my heart was filled, pouring with material desires. It was then when I was pulled out from that deep dark well, tava bhitya, by your servant Narada. That is the nature of relationship. Koham katham no visaje. How can I ever leave my service to that great soul, that servant of yours? Now that now I have got Krishna's guru, your work is over now. Your role was what? To get me Krishna? Now you've given me Krishna, so Hare Krishna. No. It's an eternal relationship. Therefore, when he heard this word guruho, who else could he think of? How could he think of Shanda Navarka, whom although he was hearing from for quite some time, for a long time, Prahlad Maharaj, Hiranyakashipu is saying here, you have heard from Shanda Navarka, but that was without the heart, because the heart had already been given to Narada. So Prahlad Maharaj decided to share the best thing that he has heard from his spiritual master Narada Muni. Now here comes a question. Prahlad Maharaj knew how envious was Hiranyakashipu against Vishnu. Already Hiranyakashipu's brother Hiranyaksha was murdered by Lord Vishnu in the form of Varahadeva. Hiranyakashipu was determined to take revenge for his brother's death, and thus he was like a head-on enemy of Lord Vishnu. Prahlad was aware of that. Hiranyakashipu was not just enemy of Vishnu, he was the king of the whole universe. The most powerful personality at that time of the whole universe, and that personality is envious of Vishnu. Why on earth did Prahlad speak something to agitate such a person? It's like twisting the tail of a sleeping tiger. Sone do usko, let the tiger sleep. You can pass by, do your work. Prahlad could have continued preaching to his classmates if that's what he wanted, since they were not so envious and they were showing signs of appreciation and acceptance of the philosophy spoken by Prahlad Maharaj. He could have just continued his service to Krishna and not agitate Hiranyakashipu unnecessarily. So why did Prahlad Maharaj speak such strong words that he had learned from Narada, knowing very well the consequence of speaking that? Already he had one small little experience previously. When he tried to speak the message of Narada Muni, Hiranyakashipu, although laughingly, but he got a bit angry. Now for the second time, if Prahlad spoke the same message, surely it will be so disgusting to Hiranyakashipu. And Prabhupada does mention here in the purport, Thus, there was again a difference of opinion, because Prahlad Maharaj wanted to relate the best thing that he had learned from his spiritual master, whereas Hiranyakashipu expected to hear about the politics and diplomacy Prahlad had learned from Shandanamarkar. Prahlad knew well what Hiranyakashipu wants to hear. Still, Prahlad chose to speak something that would agitate his most powerful, demoniac, envious, apparently loving father. Why did Prahlad speak that? Anybody would like to share their realization on this? We have heard this pastime so many times. Every year, Narasingh Chaturdashi time, we hear this whole pastime, and even otherwise, it's so dear to the heart of the Vaishnavas. You can use the mic.
He could see the dissatisfaction of Hiranyakashipu.
He
could see the dissatisfaction of Hiranyakashipu in spite of having all the opulences. So out of compassion, he spoke. And also, he was doing devotional service. He was naturally fearless of any medical situation. I think that's why he spoke. Out of natural compassion for his father, that he is suffering so much.
True. This is one reason. That Prahlad, amongst all his brothers and all the citizens, which includes the whole universe population, it is said Prahlad actually loved his father. Others may be kowtowing Hiranyakashipu, doing things that will pacify his ego, but Prahlad actually loved. It requires a devotee to love someone. Truly love. True love means do what is the most beneficial for the beloved. Even at the risk of whatever may happen at the cost, by exhibiting that love. Not that Prahlad was a fool. He knew, so he could anticipate the kind of consequences that would come upon him had he dissatisfied his father a little strongly. Even at the risk of undergoing any kind of tribulations, which did happen, as we all know, he still chose to spoke that was actually required to be heard by Hiranyakashipu, knowing very well that he may not be really interested to learn. Now, this is not something that can be imitated by us. As the teachings of Shastras go, this act can only be done by an Uttam Adhikari. Only an Uttam Adhikari is expected or is allowed or is sanctioned by the Lord to deal with hardcore envious personality. As we see, the same Narad Muni, when Daksha's 10,000 children had been made Brahmacharis by him, and again Daksha produced 1,000 more children, and again Narad Muni made them into Brahmacharis, and Daksha had an... It's not that he was against his sons becoming Brahmacharis, but his service to Vishnu was being impeded. Daksha is a Prajapati. All he was doing is just trying to render his service to Lord Vishnu. And here is Narad Muni coming again and again in the way of his service. So he was very angry. Very, very angry. At that time, it is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada went face to face with Daksha, knowing well that what will come out from his mouth will be poison. Words filled with envy. But there it is mentioned that Narada could do that, being an Uttam Adhikari. A Madhyam Adhikari is not sanctioned by the Lord. He stays away from Bali Sheshu Dushat Sucha, from the envious people, he stays away from them. Because the envy is can be too intense for him to deal with, for a Madhyam Adhikari. So if Prahlad would have been a Madhyam Adhikari, he wouldn't have done that service. Unless the second reason could be that why Prahlad spoke is the Lord personally inspired Prahlad to speak this philosophy so that he could continue with his pastimes. He had a plan also, because the demigods had already expressed their great dissatisfaction because of Hiranyakashipu's presence on the planet, and he wanted to do his service to these devotees. So Lord inspired Prahlad also, we can say like this, to speak this philosophy. And then he is there to protect his devotees. So Lord himself sometimes likes to put his devotees in very difficult circumstances, in risky situations. And thus, through such devotees, he wants to show to the masses how does a devotee respond to difficulties in life. And thus, through devotees going through such difficulties, he, the Lord, glorifies the devotees. Srila Prabhupada often in his purports explains, Lord has only one business, that is to glorify his devotees. And devotees have only one business, that is to glorify the Lord. So Lord's pastimes are nothing but an expression of his love for his devotees. But for that, sometimes he puts his devotees into difficulties, like our dear Srila Prabhupada. What difficulties Srila Prabhupada had to go through while preaching in India, while traveling to the West, while preaching in the West, a life filled with difficulties. That's why Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, the path of a transcendentalist is a path filled with thorns. So if you have come to Krishna consciousness to have a comfortable life, a smooth, happy-going life, yes, there will be happiness deep within the heart. But externally, life may be very rough. Or at least it may go through rough patches, depending on the degree to which we are determined to walk the path of truth. Life will have difficulties. But the Lord arranges like that in the lives of devotees, and the devotees always emerge victorious while going through those difficulties by the mercy of the Lord, by Lord's protection. So the Lord inspired Prahlad Maharaj here to speak, we can say like that, to speak such a philosophy which would invite danger for him. But then the Lord would himself come to offer his loving protection to such Prahlad Maharaj and to show what it means to be a devotee of Krishna. How fearlessly Prahlad faced the various tribulations that he had to go through. So Prahlad was either, we can say, out of his love for Hiranyakashipu. This is also very important. It requires great love for a parent to do the needful for the child, especially when the child is experiencing pain from that love. Like sometimes the child may get a disease. Parents take the child to the hospital, give him an injection if required through the doctor. Child may not like it. But if the love is not deep enough, when the child cries, parents will think, no, doctor, it's all right. Child is really in pain. Please don't give him this injection. Maybe later we can think of it. No, the loving parent will allow the doctor to give that pain to the child. Although seeing the child cry is painful to the heart of the parents, but they'll tolerate their pain to remove the pain of the disease that will come upon the child. So right now the child has to go through little pain to avoid big pain in the future. So the parents will allow the doctor to give that little pain out of real love for the child. So similarly, many times it said that sometimes requires to be cruel to be kind. So sometimes in the process of giving love, one has to tolerate a lot of pain in the heart. Just like for the Lord, when he puts the living entities in this material world, which is Dukhalayam, do you think the Lord is happy to put the living entities here? Do you think the Lord is happy to see us suffer? No, it's very painful for the Lord to see each any one of us go through any kind of pain. But he allows us to go through it. Sometimes devotees say, Prabhu, for such a long time we are praying to the Lord to remove some anartha from our heart. Why is Lord not removing this anartha? This anartha is troubling us so much. Is it so difficult for the Lord to remove, to purify our heart? Is purification such a difficult thing for the Lord? And if not, then why isn't he doing it? I generally tell the answer, because he loves you. Because he loves us, he allows for some time, some difficulties to go through so that we'll value that purified state. And also because we have some karma to go through. Cannot Lord remove that karma and give us purification immediately? Yes, He can. Why doesn't He do that? Why can't He make our life painless? Various reasons. Different acharyas give different degrees of realizations on this. Why can't our path of bhakti be a painless path? Why did Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati say like this, that the path of a transcendentalist is a path filled with thorns? Why? And generally we see the lives of any acharya you pick up. Practically any acharya. Filled with difficulties. Filled with obstacles. That's the way the Lord exhibits His love. Not just for His devotees. Lord uses these devotees to teach messages and lessons to the people of this world. How? Because it is one thing to say, Prabhu, you are not the body, so why are you feeling so disturbed when this difficulty is coming in your life? One thing to hear the philosophy, but when we see someone practicing the philosophy, it gives us not just more inspiration to practice it, it gives us an understanding of how to practically live by the philosophy. Srila Prabhupada said the philosophy is easy, application is difficult. That's where problem comes. That's where difficulty comes. And that's where we tend to be lazy. When it says we are lazy in this age of Kali, this is where we are lazy. We are lazy to apply the teachings of scriptures. It's very easy to, very nice to hear the pastimes of the Lord and His devotees and have a nice entertainment. But when it comes to living by the philosophy, one person who very out of great pride, he told Srila Prabhupada, I can recite Bhagavad Gita in 45 minutes. Prabhupada said, can you live by it for 45 seconds? It's one thing to recite the scriptures, but living by scripture requires great mercy. It's not simply by academic study can one live by it. So the Lord, through His living devotees, He makes them go through those trials and tribulations for us to develop some feelings for them. Like when we hear of Srila Prabhupada going through what he went through, every time we think of, especially when I think of Srila Prabhupada in India, for printing the Bhagavatam, he had to travel to Delhi in the Khatara buses of that time. He had to, so many times he didn't even get seat to sit. An old man who's a pure devotee of Krishna, he had to stand all throughout the bus journey from Vrindavan to, from Shatikara to Delhi, and then travel further to the place where the printer was there. Stand, wait for the printer to come. Check each page of the book, how it's being printed, and then personally, sometimes for the Back to God magazines, he went through distributing those magazines on the streets of Delhi. Why? But when we hear of that, doesn't some feelings come in our heart? And if Prabhupada went through so much, what are we doing? Why are we so attached to living a comfortable life? Yesterday one devotee told me, Prabhuji, it takes me 1 week to prepare for Nirjala Ekadashi. Such a dreadful thing. Why did Bhima have to fast Nirjala? Such an one little austerity, such a difficult thing for us to take. So much of meditation and absorption goes into that difficulty because we dread going through any slight difficulty. We are too attached to living a comfortable life because we lack our affection for the Lord. If you love someone really, then you are ready to pay any price or anything to do to show your love for that beloved. If there is true love. So one of the reasons why the Lord arranges for His pure devotees to go through such tribulations is so that we develop some feelings for them. Feelings of affection, feelings of gratitude, feelings of love. And then thus we are inspired to follow their teachings. Otherwise, simply to follow dry teachings without our heart connected to those teachings, it becomes an intellectual game. And then it can't go on through the test of time. It becomes difficult to follow the teachings when difficulties come, when a heart is bruised, shattered, but through some situation. And philosophy, we just keep it aside and we act like a materialistic person at that time. I have seen so many times people chanting for years and years and years, but when a calamity comes, the real self comes out. So therefore the Lord chooses such dear devotees of His and makes them go through the difficulties just so that we can feel for them. And out of those feelings, we'll take the teachings to our heart, not just to our head. But the teachings go in the head, in the heart, then we can live by them. Then living by them becomes natural. Like when I asked Srila Giriraj Swami, when you were attacked by that prostitute, nobody was around, how could you restrain that attraction? It's such a powerful attraction. It's one thing to speak philosophy that's what Krishna consciousness does, it gives a higher taste. Param drishtva nivartate. But when the actual situation comes, when some object of sense gratification comes, this philosophy remains philosophy. It doesn't actually provoke such feelings in the heart that we can say easy no to that sense gratification. That is the sthita pragya standard. Tajahati yada kaman sarvan. One is free from all such desires. How will the philosophy that we speak so often, hear so often, become actually a part of our life? This is what the Lord does from His side to make the philosophy livable. When we see devotees living by the philosophy, and when we see them going through trials and tribulations for us, Prabhupada didn't do that, what he went through for followers. It was simply because it was instruction of his spiritual master. It was a service to the Lord. And that showed his love for his spiritual master. That he was ready to go through anything, even death if required, to serve the instruction of his spiritual master. So unless such feelings of affection are there in the heart, philosophy remains head deep. It doesn't go heart deep. Living by the philosophy in difficult times becomes very difficult. Philosophy is easily practiced when everything is going fine, like a fair weather devotee. It's easy to be a fair weather devotee, as they say. When the weather is fine, everything is fine. I can chant Hare Krishna, I can go to temple, I can attend the morning program. Little difficulty comes, bhakti is obstructed. That's the check of how deep has the philosophy entered the heart. And that's what we see from the lives of our acharyas. Their bhakti never got deterred. Their service to the Lord never was obstructed. As we see in the case of Prahlad Maharaj. Now and from next verse onwards, such beautiful series of verses. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, the famous verse. Navidha Bhakti verse. Prabhupada gives a long purport. As Prabhupada becomes in ecstasy hearing such crisp message of devotion spoken by Prahlad Maharaj. Another devotee shared with me, I was discussing with various devotees why Prahlad Maharaj was inspired to speak such a strong philosophy. Some devotee shared with me a very beautiful aspect that a child generally can go about speaking anything, even little strong word, people will say anyways he's a child. So sometimes a child can speak to the father something that the wife, mother cannot speak. A small little child, let's say father is sleeping in Mangalarti time and mother wants to wake up the husband, but she is fearful to wake up the husband. Child can go, Papa, why don't you wake up? It's time for Mangalarti. Sometimes the child can do such things and father, they cannot become angry on the child. Although he's disturbed that the wife would have done the same thing, she would have had it. So sometimes for the child to speak such strong things. So Prahlad, this one devotee's realization, that Prahlad took this opportunity that as a small child, even if I speak strongly, maybe my father will not take it seriously or he will not get so agitated. So let me just give it a try. Speak the strong words. And just an aspect of realization of it. Not that this is the reason we can point out. Prabhupada doesn't mention any specific reason in his purports. But he does one place hint that Prahlad took a risk. A devotee, pure devotee like Prahlad can very well anticipate the consequences of their action. It's not difficult for them to understand how would Hiranyakashipu respond. So it was not just an act of ignorance on the side of Prahlad Maharaj. He just happened to speak something that he heard from his spiritual master. That's what he knew, so he spoke that. No, he's a pure devotee, Prahlad. So he was in knowledge of the consequence of his speech. Still he spoke. He risked. So this reason touches the heart more to what you said, that he, out of his genuine love for Hiranyakashipu. So even though Hiranyakashipu is acting so cruelly, and not what he'll do now, but Prahlad must have heard so much about other things that Hiranyakashipu must have done for so many others, and acts of cruelty. But still Prahlad loved his father. Another proof was that later when Hiranyakashipu did ask for benedictions, Narsingdeva asked for benedictions from Prahlad. Prahlad asked for deliverance of his father. The first thing he said was, please deliver my father. Although his father had tried to murder Prahlad in so many ways, Prahlad's love never went down. It's amazing. If we know somebody doesn't like us, immediately we also start not liking that person. Or some negative feelings come towards that person in our heart. We just have to know that somebody doesn't like us as much. But here, it's so difficult to conceive. Hiranyakashipu has been trying to murder his son every day with different ways. The first thing Prahlad thought of is deliverance of his father out of his love. That is spiritual love. That means deep love. That only a devotee can experience when he has some love for Krishna. Can he love other living entities, however way they may behave with this devotee? Markheya premdeya. That is a Vaishnava. He is being beaten and he responds with love, as we see in the case of Nityananda Prabhu. Gross example of being beaten by Jagai Madhai, or Madhai in specific. Still, Nityananda didn't have anything else towards Madhai but his love. This should be the standard of a devotee. At least this principle really touches my heart very much. What kind of a personality is a Vaishnava? What depth of love does a Vaishnava have? What depth of selflessness is there in the heart of a Vaishnava? So, is it a difficult thing to surrender? Is surrender a bitter pill then? To surrender to such a Vaishnava who is having such a benevolent, magnanimous heart? It's a natural response of a struggling soul when he receives such love. Therefore, for Srila Prabhupada's disciples, as I've heard from many of them, so many of them, that although they were coming from such corrupt backgrounds, such horrible backgrounds, such rebellious backgrounds, still it was so natural for them to surrender to Srila Prabhupada, because it was irresistible love that was coming from Srila Prabhupada. Deep love. For whatever they did to him, all they received was love from him. So it was so natural for them to surrender to Srila Prabhupada. So surrender becomes a natural consequence of receiving that kind of love. But just imagine, so much love Prahlad had for Hiranyakashipu, still Hiranyakashipu's heart didn't melt. At least till he was living. He continued with his enmity. So therefore, demon means Hiranyakashipu. He's an epitome of demon. Such strong love is being offered, still I'll maintain my demoniac mentality so strongly. So strong loving devotee Prahlad and strong opponent Hiranyakashipu, the perfect combination for us to experience love of a devotee. What it means for a devotee to love everyone. It's really, really amazing. Anyway, I just wanted to share this principle of Prahlada's heart, what it means to experience a Vaishnava. And we can see that from the lives of Vaishnavas. At the cost of being harmed, tiraskrita, vipralabdha, shatta, kshipta, hata api, nasyata prati kuruvanti, tad bhakta prabhavopi. Such is your devotee, O my Lord, that even if the devotee is blasphemed, criticized, hurt, even to the extent of hata api, murder, attempted murder, nasyatat pratikurvanti, devotee never retaliates. Tad bhakta, such are your devotees. Such are the glorification of the devotees of the Lord, mentioned in the scriptures. Such devotees' existence is making this world livable. Is giving us an opportunity to experience love. Gives us an opportunity to understand what would be a loving relationship with Krishna. What would be life in the spiritual world like? Such devotees' lives give us an experience of where we can go, what kind of life we'll be having in the spiritual world. It's a beautiful advertisement, beautiful trailer of the spiritual world right here in the material world, live through the lives of such loving devotees. Hare Krishna. It's very late. Anybody has any comment? Any suggestion? Maharaj, any comment from your side? Yes.
Pranav Maharaj asked specifically for the devotion of his father. Does it mean he loved his father more than other people?
Yes and no. See, as a son, there was a sense of responsibility that Prahlad felt for his father. As a devotee, one is responsible for everyone in one sense, depending on the nature of the service given to the devotee. Because Prahlad is who? Prahlad came as who? Later. Oh, not Haridas Thakur. Huh? Who did Prahlad come as in Kali Yuga? Vasudev Datta. There he played for deliverance of the whole universe. And he was ready to suffer the sin of the whole universe. That was the nature of the service that he was rendering towards the Lord. There it was he felt a responsibility towards his father. So just natural out of a spontaneous love. See, it's not a calculated thing that Prahlad did by asking for deliverance of his father. It was just a natural response that Prahlad had out of his love for his father, and he just exhibited that affection by asking for his deliverance. So not that he loves his father more than all others, but he just felt kind of responsibility, I feel, towards the deliverance of his father, because how else can his father be delivered? And he, having a relationship in this life with a particular jiva, so one feels a sense of responsibility in that relationship. That's my understanding. If anybody has any other understanding, one can share. In love, one does things which can't be, as they say, everything is fair in love and war. So in love, one can't really calculate that this is the way to exhibit love. Love can be shown in various ways at a given point of time. So he could have just asked deliverance of the whole world, which includes his father. That's also right. But that's the way Prahlad chose to exhibit his love at that time, which is also perfect. It's not one way to show love. It's not one thing that is right when it comes to loving exchanges. The science of love has to be understood for that. We are coming from a scientific background where everything works in an analogous way. And love becomes very difficult then to understand sometimes. If it's not one thing has been done out of love, that means other thing is not done. Somebody comes first, means others come second or third. Everyone can come first in loving relationship with Krishna. So there's no need of envy in a loving environment, because everyone can take the top position. Sometimes people say, Prabhuji, kya Radharani ka post to bhar gaya na already? Abhi kya fir? And they feel not inspired to sometimes practice their conception of bhakti, that I wanted to be Radharani in the spiritual world, but that I can't ever be. But that post is already, or that position is already gone. She can give you that position even higher than that, out of her love for us. That's what Krishna does. Out of love, he gives the position to his devotees higher than his own position. Love is something very, very sweet. One just has to experience it to be able to understand it. On talking terms, it's difficult to understand this concept. It's like you talk about Rasgulla. You have to taste it, if you have never tasted one, to understand what exactly Rasgulla is all about. Anyway, thank you so much for your question. It's getting little, okay. You have a comment, Prabhu? Prabhuji, actually I asked him to share, but some of the mic reached you. Actually, it's a matter of our own heart. Our heart is discriminating neophyte from a madhyama, from a uttama. Yes, Rupa Goswami does talk about discrimination between the three, but that is for how to associate, not how to offer love. Love has to be offered to all, because all are children of Krishna. So yes, what you are saying is true. When some very new person comes, you think, "Are you wasting my time? I am such a senior person. You go to somebody. Somebody else can fulfill your needs." It's like you have approached to the Prime Minister, which can work for the work that can be done by some chaprasi. Why are you wasting my time? That kind of attitude comes in us. To some extent, Prabhu, this is practical also. But so we can send that devotee to somebody else, but not with that kind of a negative feeling in our heart. That I am a big man, and why to deal with this new people? I am dealing with particular category of people. I don't know if I am catching the spirit of your question. So sending that devotee to somebody else for clarification, for discussion, the act is not wrong. But the attitude, if we are thinking that I am a big man and he is a neophyte, thus he should go to somebody else for clarification. If you have some deep question or something, then I can be involved, but for such trivial things don't live. So practically speaking, it's right. The act is not wrong. But what is wrong is that attitude of negativity or looking down upon that devotee or feeling superior to that devotee. That attitude is not right. We have to feel what is right, what could be a right attitude. And I have a particular service to perform. And what he is asking for can be done by somebody else. But if I do that, what he is asking for, my own servicing will be impeded. So Prabhu, I'm sorry, I would love to serve you, but I have another service at this point of time. And then we get him connected to somebody else who can render that service. So because Krishna consciousness is all a matter of attitude. It's not a matter of right act or wrong act. It's a matter of right attitude or wrong attitude. Krishna eventually sees that. So I feel here the act is not wrong of sending that devotee to somebody else or not being able to attend to that devotee. But it has to be properly expressed from a proper consciousness. That's my understanding. For our attitude has to be proper. So when we study Shastra, when we chant holy names, we have to pray for the right attitude to come in our heart. Hare Krishna. Thank you so very much for tolerating me. Tantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki Jai. Gaur Bhaktavinda ki Jai. Jitai Gaur Premanande.